Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Our speaker is Mike Gillingham, reader at St. James, as we celebrate Epiphany Sunday. Our readings are taken from Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 6, and Matthew 2, beginning at verse 1. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
This first reading is from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Visitors from the East. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the East to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the East, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote. Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah. For from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel." So Herod called the visitors from the East to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child. And when you find him, let me know so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left. And on their way, they saw the same star they had seen in the East. When they saw it, how happy they were. What joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that we may see your light and it may guide us. Amen. Amen. We're still in the season of Christmas, and as Ed said, I hope your tree is still up and decorated. This is only the 10th day of Christmas. I think I've got the amount right. And actually, the events we're going to look at now happen mostly not 12 days after the birth of Jesus, but probably several months after. But I suppose you can't go on celebrating Christmas till April or May. It would be very bad for our waistlines. It starts with the wise men seeing a star. Yeah, we don't know how many. All our carols are based upon three kings. Oh, no, they weren't kings. They were magi, from which we get the word magic. And there could have been a whole load. Who knows how many? Not an uncommon group for this area, because this is the main trade route from Persia through down to Egypt. Nice valley with a river for part of it so that you've got fresh water on the way and you don't have to go over all those nasty mountains, which is hard work. God speaks to these people using a special star, something only they spotted. God tailors his message to these people. Now, the Jews would never look to the stars for prophecy. That was forbidden. But for these people, they studied the stars. And if God wanted to call them, he spoke in their language. To the shepherds, he sends angels. Not, I put soppy-winged females. Sorry about that. But frightening, bright men. They were used to the idea of messengers from God. So he spoke to them like that. I have a friend from college who said an important part of her coming to Christ was a comfortable armchair in the home of her youth leader, where she could sit in the nice warm and listen to what was being said. For me, an important part of my call was tennis. This is the Winter Gardens at Weston, in the days when you could play tennis there. Unfortunately, you can't now. And in those gardens and in the park there, I first came across people who were real Christians. So the wise men came to find a king who was clearly important. They see the star as it rose. God spoke their language to call them, just as he speaks in ours, and in Greek, and in so many others. Greek, because that's how people from Persia could talk to Herod, and they understood each other. It's a little like English today, which is spoken in so many different countries, that you can often converse to somebody where you don't have a joint language in English, which is very good for us, very bad for our learning other countries' languages, but that's by the by. God calls each of us individually in our own language. He condescends to call you and me in our language. But we have to listen. Isn't it surprising that all those chief priests and scribes came and said, oh yes, we know all about the Messiah. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. We've got this and we can, we know it in the Hebrew, we know it in the Greek. We can tell you all about it and we're going to do nothing whatsoever at all about it. God calls us, but we have to listen. Naturally, the wise men came to the palace. If you're looking for a new king, you go to the palace where Herod the Great was waiting. Now, there's a problem that Herod had. He wasn't a Jew. He was an Edomite. And therefore, throughout his reign, he was worried about the possibility of a Jewish revolt to put a Jew on the throne. He must have been one of the more frightened men. He was a great builder, Here's part of what he built, a great stadium for games. And there are palaces and there are tombs and there are goodness knows what that he built, but he was a ruthless tyrant. And you can imagine that if he was a bit bothered, Jerusalem would be terrified. What is that maniac going to do next? How many people is he going to kill? We live in a world of powerful men. Many fear Putin and Mr. Trump. And I probably pronounced this wrongly, Li Jinping of China, the three most powerful men in the world. It's a thought that only occurred to me this morning that among those, Putin must be the most fearful person in the world because so many people hate him. Very Herod-like, full of fear. But let there be no doubt about who is the most powerful. God is more powerful than any tyrant. They will die. Their power will end. So will all human empires. Any look at history tells you that there's empires rise, empires fall. They never last forever. But when the Lord rises upon you, his glory appears over you. The glory of God will last forever. Yes, darkness covers the earth so often, thick darkness. And if we were meeting in Ukraine now, we would know that darkness. And, well, I could go on the list of all the countries in the world, really. And so they go to the king and they open their treasures. I was delighted to discover, every so often you get something that you discover that's new. What's the word for treasure? In Greek, it's thesaurus. The thesaurus. Roger deliberately chose this word because he was taking treasures from all the English language. So these wise men had treasures, and from them they picked gifts for Jesus. Gold. Frankincense from this tree. You scrape the bark and take the crystals that come, and myrrh. Treasures. Now, here I come across one of the problems when you prepare your talk well in advance. Since I did this, the price of gold has shot up. So I'm sorry, it's worth more than that now. Per kilogram. Truly valuable. The best things they had out of their treasures. And perhaps we could do the same out of our treasures. Offer the best that we have to God. But it's also portable wealth. See how much you can carry with what is only a moderate load. Just what God knew Mary and Joseph would need. If you are going to be a refugee in a foreign country, some of that gets you a long way. And that's what must have set Joseph and Mary up in Egypt. And one final thought. What did they expect? Well, they expected to go to a royal palace and find a baby in fine surroundings. And they go to a rather poor house with some poor people, no servants, just in a kind of area that they wouldn't touch with a barge pole back home. And yet, they were open to what God had in store for them. And instead of saying, ooh, didn't expect this, ooh, we won't stay here, they appreciated the baby Jesus and bowed down to this poverty-stricken baby in a poverty-stricken family. How surprising is that? They were called, they listened, and when they got there, despite the fact that it was totally different to what they expected, they appreciated and were open to what God had in store. So may we be open to what God is telling us. If there's something that God says to you and me that is surprising, oh, I'd never go there, I didn't expect that, be open to listen to what God tells us. May we be aware of God's plans and power. May we open our treasures for his purposes. And may we be ready to bow down and worship the Lord God Almighty. Let's pray. Oh Lord, speak to us so we can hear. Open our ears and minds and hearts so we may understand. And help us to act to serve you as those wise men did. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.